1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 29.
Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead?
He's trying to say that there are some people baptizing some people, and some people are already dead, and some people will say, okay, if that person didn't get a chance to be baptized, I want to be baptized behalf of him. And he's saying, why are they then baptized for the dead? The reason he is saying, there are people who do not believe in resurrection. And the last week we learned that St. Paul was saying, Jesus Christ is risen according to the scripture. And this Corinthian church may have so many doubts. They had some doubt about resurrection. So St. Paul is saying, you don't believe in resurrection. And there are people who believe in resurrection. And resurrection is the type of burial service. That means the old Adamic sin, the power of sin, we buried in the water. And when we come out of the water, we come out of the water like a new person, new Adam, and we put on Christ so the world can see us completely new people. When we putting on Christ, people are going to see Christ. So the baptism represents death and burial and resurrection service. So he is saying there are some people believing so much in resurrection, and some people did not take the water baptism. He is saying they are still baptizing people, even the people are dead. And somebody says, okay, my dad or my uncle, my aunt or somebody didn't take the water baptism, and they are not going to be resurrected. So can I take the baptism behalf of them? And you might be thinking, what I'm saying doesn't make sense. But there are a group of people around the world have a denomination started on this scripture, and they are baptizing people even though their forefathers dead, and they say, okay, I'm going to take a baptism behalf of them. I don't want anyone to go to hell. So St. Paul is saying this much faith those people had, he is not encouraging to take the baptism for dead. There are some people doing it today. But he is not saying we should be baptizing people when they are already dead. He is trying to say the point here, we should be believing more than the other people believing in resurrection. Otherwise, he says, verse 30. And he is saying, if the resurrection is not true, why are we keeping our life in danger every day? Christianity is not an easy life. Behalf of Christ, people are dying every day. Go to Sudan, go to Africa, go to India, go to China, go to Russia, and see how many people are dying for their faith. People do not like Christianity. People do not like the Word of God. People do not like the Bible. People do not like to hear about Jesus Christ. Why they are scared? Because Christian life is a life of holiness. Christian life is a life of purity. Christian life is a life of Christ on earth. And so people do not like to live holy and clean life. So they reject Christ. So he says, why we have to do like this if there is no resurrection? Why we have to suffer? Let us rejoice like other people. Let us live our normal life. Why we have to live a Christian life if there is no resurrection? Verse 31 and 32.
I protest by a rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die.
So St. Paul is saying, you got saved, I was rejoicing, I was happy that you got born again, saved and baptized. And now you do not understand the resurrection. He said, I do not want to even think about it. What happened to you people and how you came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He says, I am dying daily. That means my life is in danger every day. And what he's trying to say, you do not understand what the Christianity is all about. I have given my life for you. And he says, when I was in Ephesus, I fought with a beast. Fought with a lion and tigers and all other animals, vicious animal. He's talking about there were people like a beast. They were evil. They were fighting with me. They almost killed me, destroyed me. Why am I having all these problems and I'm coming to you and teaching you about the resurrection and you do not understand, then the life is like this. Eat and drink, have fun. Tomorrow we are going to die. Why should we live for Christ? So he say, this is what the people are doing. So if you do not have the hope of resurrection, and if you want to live in this world like normal people, then what? Don't go to church, don't read the Bible, don't pray, and have fun, and rejoice in the world, and don't think about God. Now somebody says, oh, St. Paul is saying good thing. Let us eat and drink because tomorrow we are going to die. So he is trying to say, how fun. He is not saying that. He is saying only foolish people will do that. The life is more than food and more than clothes and more than living in this world. One day we are going to go empty-handed. We came with the empty-handed, we are going with the empty-handed. But once we have Jesus Christ, we are going to go to a better place. This world is not for us. We are living in this world, but we are not off of this world. So we are not going to say, let's have fun, eat, drink, because tomorrow we are going to die. Do you know there are some people on their deathbed, they have some desire to eat. They will say, could you make the favorite food before I die? I want to eat it. But you will see the righteous people, they will be not craving on their deathbed. They will be thinking about God. They will be praying. They will be praising. They will be blessing their children. They will be busy doing the Lord's work. They don't have time to tell you to cook my special food for me so I can rejoice. In this world, people are living for the world. Their life is eat, drink, tomorrow we are going to die. So have fun. If you don't have hope for tomorrow, tomorrow we are going to die, so have a party. Is that a Christian life? No. Let's read verse 33.
Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt.
So what he's trying to say? Don't be fooled. If you have a bad company, if you having friends, and they talk about sex, they talk about girlfriend and boyfriend, and they talk about parties, and you have a desire to learn more and listen to more. But if somebody says, let me tell you about Jesus, what Jesus did for me. No, you cannot talk in the work about Jesus. You cannot talk in the company about Jesus, but you can talk all the filthy things, what movie we saw, what friend you had, and what things you did. You can enjoy talking those things. So here's saying, if you enjoy the evil communication, what's going to happen? You are going to corrupt your good manners. That means slowly but surely, you are going to go off of the track. We don't have a desire to read the Bible. Sometimes we say, you know, I read the Bible once in a year or something like that. And every day the same thing. The chapter doesn't change. The book doesn't change. But if you are really, really love the Lord, the Bible is a treasure book. You keep on reading 5,000 times, yes, still right. You will have new revelation and new things will come out of
Amen.
It. So the Bible we should be reading, the evil communication corrupt good manners. You see your children, you can train them very well, but when they go outside and start playing with the evil children, their behavior changes. You can send the children to Christian school, Christian daycares, then Christian primary school, Christian high school. As soon as they go to college, the professor will teach them, don't listen to your mom and dad's religion. You should have a free mind to think about your own thing and don't believe those things. Those things are unlearned people will do it. And so they change their mind, and as soon as you go to college, come back from college, you don't believe in God. You just don't trust in God. Very few people stay in the Lord, but 95% people will go away from the Lord. Why? Evil communication corrupts good manners. Verse 34.
Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame.
Awake to righteousness. What does it mean? He says you are sleeping. You are sleeping for the righteousness' sake. Means people, when they sleep, they don't know what they're doing. So he's saying, you are just like in a sleep. There is no righteousness. In a sleep, you dream. There are people, sometimes they call me, they are in the 80s and 85 and 90s. And they say, Pastor Peter, you know what? I have a dream. And I dream like I'm a 20 years old boy. And I do all kinds of evil things in my dream. And sometimes I rejoice in my dreams. When I wake up, I feel ashamed. Why am I thinking like this? What I'm trying to say, we have to wake up to our righteousness. I say to him, get up. When you have that kind of dream, get up. Put the light on. Take the Bible. Start reading. Start praising God. Start speaking in tongues. And those thoughts will go away. That's what he said. Wake up to righteousness and sin not. And he says, why I'm saying this? Because some of you have not even the knowledge of God. What does it mean? Some of you do not even believe in God. Some of you even do not know if there is a God. And there are so many people today. One man came to our church, not here. We were in another church. And he was across the street. And his wife is coming and he is standing at the side. I said, sir, come on in. He said, I don't believe in God. I said, what do you believe? I believe in supreme power. I said, sir, you need God. You need Jesus. He said, I don't need Jesus. I said, someday you will need Jesus. And that same man was dying in a veterans hospital. His wife says, please come and pray for my husband because he is dying. I said, he doesn't believe in any God. Now he will. I talked with him, led him to Christ, and he believed Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Doctor gave him 1.5 hour to live. But he came to church, gave me a hug. He said, Jesus Christ is my Lord and you are my pastor. What I'm trying to say, there are people who do not believe in God. They think this life is so good. Just have fun. But when you go to the deathbed, then you think about God. So St. Paul is saying, I came here, I got you people saved, you got baptized, you filled with the Holy Spirit, and some of you still do not believe in God. He says, if I tell you this, it will be shameful for you. He's saying, I'm sorry that you people do not believe in God. How can you believe in the resurrection? Verse 35.
But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come?
First of all, you do not believe in resurrection. Now, if some of you, if you start believing resurrection, then you have some kind of doubt. How are we going to be resurrected? Even today, there are people are telling you. They say, you will be resurrected in the same body you have. And you will be resurrected so we can recognize each other. And it sounds so convincing. But let me tell you. Just think that some person's hand was twisted like this, or leg was twisted, or the person was blind, or the person was deformed, Do you think when Jesus Christ comes and raises you from the grave, you will be same? Then there is no meaning to resurrect you for the heavenly kingdom like a blind person or like a lame person or whatever the deformity you have. We are not going to be like that. Then some people say, how can I recognize you? God will give you the supernatural brain to even you can recognize Adam, you can recognize Moses, even though you didn't see them in person. God will give you that kind of mind. So when we are resurrected, we will be just like Christ.
Amen.
How do you know? 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3.
Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
So he said, we shall be just like him, spiritually, physically, and everywhere. That means not like the same face like Jesus, but like he was in his glory, though we will be having a glorious life. We will not have the same life. Some people say, oh, I'm so ugly, my nose is short and I want to lengthen his nose. Or somebody says, my nose is too long, I want to make it a little bit short. And so many, their body parts, they want to change. But I believe when we will be resurrected, there won't be any lacking in your body. Your body will be perfect the way you want it. And you will be not craving for anything else. Your body will be good looking body, a spiritual body, and you will have no desire to change again. So don't think that some person was deformed, he will be deformed again. Okay, so we are going to have a new God kind of body. And the verse 3 says, if you have that kind of hope, then what you do? Purify yourself as he is pure.
And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure.
What hope? This hope. What hope? That we will be just like God. You know, the devil wanted to be like God. And he came to Adam and he said, if you eat this fruit, you will be just like God. What happened? Instead of being like God, he died. But thank God for Jesus Christ. He came and now he says, if you believe in me, if you follow me, you will be just like me. But how can you be like him? Purify yourself. Christian life is a life of holiness. Somebody says, how can I be holy? I'm a sinful person. That's why Jesus Christ came. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ is all about. You know, plunge in the blood of Jesus Christ and you will be completely cleansed. You don't need any other cleansing thing. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from what? All unrighteousness. That means once we believe Jesus Christ and plead the blood of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven and forgotten, and there is no trace of sin in our life. So we are to purify our life with the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, verse 36. 1 Corinthians 15:36.
Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body.
Thou fool, and if somebody says thou fool, people do not like to hear it. But he says you are talking like a foolish person. You do not know how we will be raised. And then he is giving an example. He says you take a grain, any seed. You can take a wheat, you can take a corn, you can take any grain and put it in the ground. what happens? And he says, when you plant that grain, you do not plant the body. You just plant the grain. But God gives the body. And once each and every grain comes, if you are a good farmer, you would know from the leaves. Each and every grain, first comes two leaves, and then keep on multiplying. So if you are a good farmer, first two leaves, as soon as you see, you will say, okay, this is a chickpea, or this is a wheat, or this is a sweet peas, or whatever, from your two leaves, you could say. So what I'm trying to say, the Word of God is saying, God has given each and every grain a different body. Let's read verse 39.
All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another.
There are all different kinds of flesh. Even he's saying the flesh of fish or the birds and people are different. But you know, there are some people, they are thinking we are all one. We came from all monkeys, or we came from all some animals. But the Word of God says, oh no, each and every animal and each and every bird and each and every person has their separate body. You cannot take the monkey's heart and put it in man's, or take a monkey's blood and put it in your blood. If we came from monkey, then that blood should work. But it doesn't work. So each and every flesh is different. That's what God is trying to say. So don't try to say we came all from some kind of blob or some kind of one animal and then we became different people. Heavenly bodies are like angels and different kinds of angels and heavenly creatures. Their bodies are different, and the people are living in earth, our body is different. And so why the Word of God is saying like this? Because there are so many Christian scholars. You might have heard it, but these words will tell you the truth. You might have heard it that they are saying, in the time of Noah, they were giants, they were angels, went with a human, and they produced the giant kind of race. That's why the flood came and God destroyed the mankind. Angel's body is different than the earthly body. Angel cannot mix with mankind. Angel cannot have sex with a mankind. And they cannot reproduce. How do you know? Jesus Christ said. You know, there was a man came and he said, oh, there was a lady. She married to one man and he died. And she married to another and another and another. And she married seven times. In the time of resurrection or in heaven, whose wife she will be? What Jesus Christ said. You do not understand, our God is not the God of dead. When you go to heaven, there is no husband and wife relationship like an earthly kind of thing. There are some people say, oh, we will be doing what we're doing in here. But Jesus Christ said very plainly, we will be in heaven like an angel. What does it mean? Angels do not reproduce. We will not reproduce. Heavenly bodies cannot mix with earthly bodies. Whatever the theories these Christian scholars are saying is a wrong theory. Angels cannot reproduce, and so their bodies and our bodies is different. And that's the way God made it. Verse 41.
There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory.
Each and everything God made different. sun's glory, the moon's glory, and the different stars' glory, they're all different. Now, there are people will be telling you there are so many moons and so many suns and so many stars, but they are not alike. They are telling there are so many suns and so many moons, thinking about their glory and power. But God says everything is different. They are not a similar sun and similar moons and similar stars. Verse 42.
So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption.
Just like a wheat you plant and comes with a new body. Same way when we die and we will be dust to dust and ashes to ashes. But God has power to put together the glorious body and we can be resurrected. That is only God's doing. Man cannot do this, what God is able to do. Verse 43.
It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body.
When we are weak, deformed, and all kinds of deformity, but once we are died in Jesus Christ, buried, and when Jesus Christ comes, we are going to resurrect it in a glorious body. Not the same bad looking or ugly looking body, but the glorious body. That's what the Word of God is saying. So there is a spiritual body and there is a earthly body. Earthly body and spiritual body is completely different. See, Jesus Christ, when he was risen, you could come through the wall or closed doors. He could eat and drink with them and still can disappear through the wall. So that is a glorious body. God can give it to us and we will have the same kind of body when we are resurrected. Verse 45.
And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit.
Now here are so many people having some kind of thoughts, thinking Adam committed sin, that's why we are suffering. If Adam didn't commit sin, we would have better life. But here the Word of God says Adam was not perfect. Adam was made from the dust. He was from earth. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul from what? From the dust. But the last man was made a quickening spirit because he was heavenly. Let's read the verse 46.
Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual.
See, what he's trying to say, first was not a spiritual, that means the first Adam was not the spiritual person. He was earthly person. He was made from earth. And he had the boundaries. He could not fly. He could not go to heaven. But when Jesus Christ came into this world, and when we believe Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, something happened to our bodies. What happened? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. He says, in Christ, each and every person is a new creation. Old things are passed away, what? Behold, all things became new. What does it mean? Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the old Adamic body, old Adamic sin, old Adamic nature is passed away. And what happened? Behold, all things became new. That means we are in Christ Jesus, new creation. That was not exist for Adam. Adam's creation was earthly. Adam was created with a blood and flesh and blood. We will be reading here, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. What does it mean? Adam was not able to go to heaven with his physical body, earthly body. So Jesus Christ, when he came and he died on the cross of Calvary, he took your death penalty on the cross and he gave us new life. So our life is completely different than the Adam's life. He says the first man was not a spiritual man, but the second man was a spiritual man, that was Jesus Christ. So we became spiritual because of Jesus Christ. Verse 47.
The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven.
So the first man is Adam from the earth. The second man is from heaven, and he is heavenly. So we got a chance of both persons. We were made from earth, but once we received Jesus Christ, now we became heavenly people. Okay, verse 48.
As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly.
We had the all sinful nature just like Adam, and we were living earthly life. But the day we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, what happened? We became heavenly. Ephesians chapter 2 and I think verse 6, he says, we are lifted up and we are sitting at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus in heaven. Once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, what happens? He comes in our life. Our life, our spirit got completely transformed, and the spirit man can go to heaven and sit with God, talk with God, and have spiritual life, and same time our body on earth. It can happen only once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior.
And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
How it happened? We are on earth. He says, but once you receive Jesus Christ, we are lifted up in heavenly places and we are sitting with Christ. Do you know when Jesus Christ, he was on earth, but at the same time he said, I'm Nicodemus, that's in John chapter 3. I'm talking to you here, but I'm still in heaven. So Jesus Christ could experience the heaven on earth at the same time. So same experience he has given to us. We can be on earth the same time and we can be in heaven the same time. The spirit man can communicate with God in heaven and we can be still in this body. This only happens once you receive Jesus Christ. Verse 49.
And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly.
See, the same thing is repeating. We have the image of Adam, the first Adam. But now we can have the image of Jesus Christ who is heavenly. So we are blessed people. There are so many people who do not know this mystery. But we know the mystery in Christ. We have to tell the people, if you do not have Jesus Christ in your life, you will die, you will be ashes to ashes. And when you are resurrected, you will go to hell for eternity. You will not have the same image of God. You will be going to hell with your own corruptible body, but we will be going to heaven with a heavenly body because we have the image of Jesus Christ in our life. Okay, verse 50.
Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption.
See, it's very plainly here he says, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That means first Adam was created and put in a garden. That Adam, even though he didn't commit any sin at that particular time, but he was not able to go to heaven. What happened? God came down to talk to Adam. Adam was not able to communicate God in heaven. He was not able to sit at heaven like we read in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6. That experience Adam didn't have. Because he was living in the earthly body. And he says, once the person has the flesh and blood, that person cannot inherit the kingdom of God. What happens? Because this flesh and blood body is corruptible. So when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and rose again, and once we believe Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Christ, our corruptible body changes to incorruptible body when he raises us. So that is the mystery people do not know. Verse 51.
Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed.
What is the mystery? He says, don't think that everybody is going to die and going to go to one place. The people who die without Christ, they will go to different place. That's called hell. And people who believe in Jesus Christ, they will rise and they will be changed and they will go to heaven. That's the mystery. You talk to the man on the street and ask them. They will say, what do you think? What will be your future after your death? Oh, I'll go to heaven. After you die, where do you go? I don't know. I'll be wandering here and there. They don't know. And somebody says, how can I know until I die? St. Paul says, I told you the mystery. People do not know. Because if they are not born again, they are blinded. The devil has blinded their eyes. They could not see the image of Christ. They cannot change. They cannot transform. But to transform, you have to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then your spiritual eyes open. Give this Bible to somebody who is not born again. If that person doesn't have a desire to be born again, this book is like a closed book. But if the person have a desire to know about God, then God will open your spiritual eyes. God is everywhere. But you have to have a desire for God. Otherwise, God is not going to appear automatically. You have to have desire to look for God. So here the word of God says, I am going to tell you the mystery. We are not going to die all, but we are going to change. Some people are going to die and they go to hell. Some people are going to change, go to heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, which shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
How much time is it going to take? He says, twinkling of an eye. If somebody says, you know, if Jesus Christ is coming, and you're going to go to heaven, I will go with you. Some lady says, when you're going, I'll hold on to your pants or hold on to your clothes and we'll be gone with you. Twinkling of an eye is a very short time. You would not be able to hold somebody. Even though you hold somebody's pant or shirt, he'll be down. You're going to have a new body and you do not need these clothes and this flesh. Completely transformed. And how much time it takes? Very short time. Okay? In that twinkling of an eye, we will be changed, we will be transformed, we will have a completely different body, and we will be gone. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you read from verse 13 to 18, he says, when Jesus Christ comes, you know what he does? All the dead in Christ, they are in heaven. So he said, I will bring their spirit with me and then I'll quicken their bodies and then put the spirit in their bodies and then they will be, you know, like a people. And the people who are alive, they will be transformed. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 53.
First this corruptible must put on incorruption and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
So he says, first has to be first thing. What? This mortal body, this corruptible body has to change. Now how is it going to change? Only Christ changes this corruptible body to incorruptible body. And that body only Jesus has. When Jesus Christ comes, he is not coming like he came before with the flesh and blood. When Jesus Christ will come and we will be just like him. So we will be having a glorious body. If Jesus Christ comes now, we don't have to die. We all will be transformed. We don't have to die. The people who are dead in Christ, they will be alive. So what the St. Paul is trying to say, we have the incorruptible body, because of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ died and rose again, that's why we got incorruptible body by faith. Each and every person has to die once. But in Christ, we do not have to die at all. Jesus Christ said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Without Jesus Christ, there is no life. Okay, let's finish this chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, right, 55.
O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
O death, where is thy sting? Means we die because of sin. And the sin takes us to hell. But the word of God says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we got victory over sin, victory over death, victory over grave, and victory over hell. So now we are victorious because of Jesus Christ. And so we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. So corruptible life is gone. If somebody lives in sin, the sin will kill you and take you to hell. Romans chapter 6 verse 23. What does it say? Wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What does it mean? If you live in sin, you will die and you'll go to hell. But if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He will transform you. He will change you. And you don't have to die anymore. Verse 58.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Now, this is encouragement St. Paul is giving. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. What do you mean steadfast? He's saying, whatever you learn the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you learn the gospel of Jesus Christ, you got saved, you got baptized, you got filled with the Holy Spirit, you are living a holy life, stand steadfast. Don't move, don't allow enemy to destroy you. Always start working for the Lord. Keep your mind busy. So what this word is saying, whatever you do it for the Lord, He will be remembered. Don't think that you did something and nobody cares. God cares about us. He knows what you're doing. What the word of God says, the last day you say, well done, my faithful servant. So we want to live in this world and doing things for the Lord and stay busy. So now, what I'm trying to say, once you are a child of God, you have no rest. You have to be busy in the Lord, and that will be your refreshing. When you do something for the Lord, you feel good. You talk to somebody, you give somebody something, you tell them about God, and you rescue that person from the hell, you think, thank God, I did my job. And God will reward you. Each and every soul you're going to win, they will be like a diamond in your crown. So we have work to do. Don't give up. Don't say I have nothing to do. When you keep yourself busy, you will live longer. If you don't have anything and you sleep, you will die soon because you're wasting your time in your sleep. Stay busy. Shall we rise? Jesus Christ is coming. He comes with many crowns. And we will have our own crown. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you for St. Paul. You revealed him to the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And he was able to tell us the mysteries. And now we know we are not going to die and go to hell. But we are going to transform with the twinkling of an eye. And we are going to meet you in the air. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for the plan of salvation. Thank you for coming and dying for us. And you are risen Christ, and we have hope in Jesus Christ that we are going to live together forever. Lord Jesus, we have our relatives, our friends, and our co-workers. They do not know this mystery. Give us grace to tell them. Give us grace to be busy doing your things. Be with us, O Lord, and sanctify us. Use us more and more for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And amen.